Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And welcome to Talking.Golf. It's been a while, hasn't it? Rob Hernandez here, Gary D'Amato there. Gary, Zoom told me I hadn't done one of these in a long time. We'll get to the reasons why in a minute, but I can't believe we're already to the end of the year. It's been a couple months since we've done a podcast, but no time like the present to kind of wrap up the year, look ahead to the future. How are you doing, first of all?
Yeah, I suppose I should let everyone know that one of the reasons that we haven't done podcasts in a long time is I came home from a golf trip at the end of September and got really sick. And I was sick for about 10 weeks, Rob, as you know, but probably a lot of our listeners don't know. And, you know, in the hospital for a week with a real high fever, and then the doctors couldn't figure out. They knew I had an infection somewhere, but they couldn't figure out what it was or where it was. And so I went through the ringer with tests. In fact, I have another blood draw tomorrow. They're still trying to pinpoint some things. I'm probably 90% back right now. I'm not 100%, but compared to where I was 6-7 weeks ago, I feel really good. So whatever it was that was in me, it's taken a long time to get out of me.
Well, and I know, again, you know, for our listeners' benefit, there was about a 14-day stretch there where you had a fever over 100 degrees.
Yeah, it was it shot up to over 102, 103, and then when it reached 104, you know, I went to the hospital and they admitted me. And even in the hospital, they couldn't get my temperature down. It was over 103 for a good solid week. So it was just a strange illness. I'm still not quite back, but I can function, which is why people have seen stories from me on our website. You know, I can still work and function, but just not there 100%, but I'm getting there. So hopefully I go to Orlando in a couple weeks, Rob, for the PGA show. I'm bringing my golf clubs, and it'll be the first time I've swung a golf club in like 4 months. So since that trip at the end of September. So we'll see. Hopefully I can break 100, Rob.
Yeah. Well, and you and I both had great trips to Alabama, you on the Robert Trent Jones Trail and me to Gulf Shores. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, while this was going on with you, we had another setback at Wisconsin.Golf. Our great colleague Jim Kelch went in for scheduled heart procedure to fix an aortic aneurysm. He'd been kind of battling with that all summer in terms of stamina from a previous operation, and then had complications with this one. And he is still somewhat laid up, in fact, quite a bit laid up, to the point where I'm not sure what his status will be for 2025. And we, you know, certainly send our thoughts and prayers along to Jim and his wife, Cookie. It's going to be a long road to recovery. But I had a chance to talk to him a couple weeks ago, and he sounded great. And it was just a slight stroke during the surgery. And, you know, he sounds good, but his left side is impaired, and he's had a couple other things pop up. So they're continuing to battle that. You know, I think, Gary, if we were to summarize this, it really sucks getting old.
It sure does, Rob. And I want to stress that whatever I've gone through pales in comparison to what Jim has gone through, our colleague. We both have spent a lot of days on the golf course with Jim. Tons of energy for a guy who was, I think, 70 years old. Carried those big cameras around. And I know a lot of people who listen to his podcast and read us are very familiar with his work. He's a great photographer. And we're hoping and praying, as you said, Rob, that he makes a complete 100% recovery and we can see him maybe, hopefully, back on the golf course this summer. That would be, I think, a best-case scenario. And, yeah, we're missing Jim, and hopefully that his recovery continues to go well here for him.
And for our listeners, when you see photos on our website that look really sharp and really well done, those are Jim's. Mine are the other ones. And literally dozens of junior golfers that have used Jim's photos to stuff on their social media feeds, especially when they commit to schools. That's kind of why we're here, and he's been a big part of that. And and I guess it's a good segue into, you know, things will look a little bit different going forward, Gary, because you've got some other news to share with our listeners as well.
Yeah, Rob, I turned 69 on January 10th, and I decided to cut back on my on the number of hours that I put in. You know, I love this job, and I don't want to give it up completely, but it's time for me to just step back a little bit. I've got 7 grandkids. My wife and I want to do some traveling while I'm still relatively healthy. And so I will have a reduced role at Wisconsin.Golf in 2025. I know you're going to pick up some of that slack, and I know Rob Jansen, who oversees our website for the WSGA, is probably looking to plug some holes that, you know, the things that I used to cover that I won't be covering this year. So it'll be a different look going forward, but I'm not going to pull completely away, and I know I'll see you at some of the big events this coming summer, Rob.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that State Am, State Open, you know, you and I have developed a great rhythm, and Jim's been a big part of that, too, with his photography. And, you know, we've covered all angles of the state's two biggest tournaments, in addition to the AmFam Championship. And, of course, you know, in 2025, we'll have a U.S. Women's Open on our fairways at Erin Hills. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, Gary, I don't blame you one bit. If I've learned one thing living in a 55-plus, it's that, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. I've had many, many friends that have you know, battled with different complications in the 3 years that we've been, you know, down here. And, you know, it just, you know, we moved to a place like this so we could do some of the things that other people do a little bit later and try to work it in with jobs, my wife and I. But, you know, you are at an age, Gary, where you've got to, you know, you've got to take advantage of everything. And, you know, I'm not calling you old, but I'm saying that, you know, I mean, there are so many places you can go, so many things that you can do. You know, with Dee Dee, once, she's retiring too. Am I correct? Still in the middle of the year?
Yeah, she'll retire at the end of June. So we'll have the second half of the summer minus a couple of weeks of tournament coverage to kind of explore Wisconsin and go on some trips that we want to do.
Do you have a couple things on your wish list, and how many of them involve golf?
They all involve golf, Rob. You know me. You know, I'm actually starting to look for we'd like to get away for a month next winter, either in January or February, so roughly a year from now. So I'm starting to look at condos down in Gulf Shores and down around Pensacola and down to maybe like Fort Walton Beach in that area where we go for a month. And if we like it, we go back the next year. And if we don't, we maybe come out your way in a year or so after that, you know, and try the Phoenix area or Tucson maybe. So we're going to jump around and do some things like that, hopefully annually, until we can't do it anymore.
Well, and that's awesome. And I tell you what, until I went to Gulf Shores, I would have thought you were nuts. But I tell you, that really is a fantastic place. And, you know, they have like 4 or 5 really good golf courses within, you know, 5 miles of the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, that is. And it's a laid-back, you know, destination place. Not a lot of golf courses, but enough good ones to satisfy anybody's appetite. And the view of the Gulf of Mexico, Gary, I was blown away. I mean, and the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico, the sunrise, you kind of get both because it's down there at the, you know, at the bottom. And I was really impressed with what Gulf Shores had to offer.
Yeah, and far less traffic and congestion than, you know, if you go over to the other side of Florida and go over to Fort Lauderdale and Miami and the Keys, it's just wall-to-wall people. So we're trying to find a spot that's a little less congested, and certainly the Gulf Shore sits at that. But I've been there a couple times, Rob, and it's a nice place. I don't know what the temperature will be like in January. I'm guessing 60s, but certainly better than 10 below in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, and that, I did look that up, and I was impressed that it never did get too low. And typically, I know my wife, her uncle and aunt would alternate between Florida and Arizona, and they'd always complain when they come to Arizona because in January it does get cold in the morning here. Now it warms up to the 60s, but you go to Florida at that time of year, and you're probably in the upper 70s, low 80s, and you can tell when you get to be our age. You feel that. I was out doing errands this morning. It was 42, and I was, you know, a little bit cold. And by the time I was done, it's, you know, up in the, you know, 60s now, and it's fine. So it just things change.
You're spoiled, Rob.
What's
you're
that? Spoiled. Yeah, I am spoiled. I am spoiled. That's for sure. No doubt about it. Although We should mention too. I mean, you've got good weather right now, or at least you did over the last couple of days, because a couple of golf courses open. I know Edgewood and Big Bend opened, and I think maybe the Oaks and a couple others. We posted one on our Facebook page at Wisconsin.golf, and then others chimed in. So if you're really hardy, you're going out to golf right now.
You could play today, Rob. Here it's sunny, and I don't know. It might be high 30s or 40, but there's no wind and it's sunny. So it feels, I mean, I took my dog for a walk and I had to take off my wool cap because I was getting hot. So you definitely could play golf today somewhere if you just dress for it a little bit. But there's a cold snap coming, Rob. In about 4 or 5 days, we're going to be down to 15, 20 degrees. So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Gary, I thought, so also as part of, you know, the changes coming, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, Gary's time with us is used in the most, you know, in the best way possible. And obviously, you know, Gary's an award-winning writer and has just a great way with words. And so most of what Gary will do is it will be done in a written form through the Sweet Spot will continue on Mondays. You'll continue to do an occasional Legends of Golf in Wisconsin piece, which, you know, those have been really popular, trying to catch up with some of the men and women who have, you know, blazed trails for the golfers of today. And then, like we said, yeah, hopefully tournament coverage on some of the bigger events will continue to have Gary's stamp on them. So this will be our final podcast as Talking Doc Golf in its original format. I intend to keep it going, Gary, and try to just do what we're doing here with various newsmakers, you know, in doing the junior ranking series this month. You know, a number of the kids had great perspectives on the whole process of finding a college, and I'm excited to catch up with them and others as we, you know, we'll have a bunch of stories coming up. We've already had on the WSGA schedules for the men and women. The WPGA schedules are being finalized both for the section with the State Open and those kind of events, and then the junior PGA section, which or junior tour schedule is being finalized. And I've caught a glimpse of it, and there's some exciting changes there too. But so we'll wrap up this year, and we'll wrap up, you know, kind of what we're doing. We might do this again, you know, you and I down the road occasionally.
Sure.
But you do have a story that's going to drop tomorrow, and we don't want to spoil, you know, too much of that. But the top stories of the year, Gary, if there was one that that jumped out, what do you think it is?
Well, you know, actually, there's probably four or five that were pretty easily, you know, going to make the top ten that you just knew were going to make the top ten stories. Certainly one of them is, you know, Steve Stricker losing in the playoff at the AmFam Championship when he missed that short putt in the playoff and lost to Ernie Els. Not our favorite story, maybe, because I know everyone in the world wanted, except Ernie Els and his family in Madison, wanted Steve to win that one. But certainly that was a big story. And then, you know, a couple others. You know, you look at all the USGA championships coming to Wisconsin over the next 15 years or so. There have been announcements in the last few months about Whistling Straits getting more USGA championships, Aaron Hills getting five more, and those, you know, announcements came after an announcement that Sand Valley Resort is getting some USGA championships. So the more the merrier for Wisconsin, Rob. But those two stories, certainly, when I looked at the top 10 stories of the year, stood out. You know, there's the new format for the AmFam Championship, and then, you know, Jerry Kelly talking about his rheumatoid arthritis certainly was a big story in the middle of the year there. And I'm not going to tease the two anymore, but those were some of the ones that, you know, certainly ranked among the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a different year for Steve Stricker. You know, after a year in which he dominated, you know, he struggled to find that victory, finally got it, and you know, very emotional. And, you know, again, he also is getting older, Gary, and I don't know if golf fans really appreciate the fact that, you know, for Jerry, for Steve, you know, for Mario, that, you know, there aren't many years left of really good high-level golf just based on record. Bernhard Langer is an exception. But, you know, you get in your upper 50s and early 60s, and it is a struggle to keep up with the young guns that come onto the tour.
For sure. You know, Jerry turned 58, I believe, about 5 weeks ago, and Steve turns 58 in February.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the window starts to close. Certainly it does. I mean, both those guys have stayed in great shape, even though both of them have battled some health stuff, you know, as almost every golfer does who plays that much golf at a high level for 40 years, things are going to start breaking down. But other than that, I mean, they've kept themselves in great shape, and, you know, both of them are still threats to win. And I think Mario's getting better, Rob. I think Mario Tiziani is getting better, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see him contend a couple times in 2025.
Yeah, he was kind of, you know, neck and neck with a guy named Tim O'Neill for the last couple of years coming out of Q School, another guy that really didn't have any PGA Tour career to speak of, and but yet has found a way. He's won on the Champions Tour, and, you know, and I agree. I think Mario was lockstep with him for a long time, and if he can get the putter going on a certain week, it's going to happen, because everything else about what he does is outstanding. I think with Steve and Jerry too, you know, Jerry, I think since we did our last podcast, you know, he lost his mom, Lee, and of course Steve's dad, Bob, you know, passed away early this year. And, you know, again, I think it makes a lot of people kind of, you know, take inventory of family and, you know, what you want to do with your time and with those people. You know, Bobby's still trying to chase a professional career, Bobby Stricker, and Izzy's, you know, starting her career at the University of Wisconsin. And I think this will be big summers for both of those young ladies. And I think Steve wants to do what he can to get them where they want to go.
Yeah, he does, Rob, you know, which is why he only played 12 events last year. I anticipate him playing about the same amount, you know, in 2025. I don't think we're ever going to see him play 18 events again. But he gets a lot done in those 10 or 12 or 13 events, doesn't he? I mean, last year, 2023 was exceptional. And even this year, 2024, you know, he only won one tournament, but he finished, I think, eighth in the Schwab Cup, on the money list. And if he had played enough official rounds, he would have led the Champions Tour in scoring. So, and Jerry's always up there in the ball striking category. So both those guys continue to play very, very, high level golf.
And we'll have a fourth cheesehead on the senior circuit this year. Mark Wilson has turned 50, and he will get in events, Gary, because he won on the PGA Tour. There was a category for those golfers who turn 50 for a year or two. You know, they'll have to battle with other, you know, he'll have to battle with other golfers coming out that have won on the tour. But I think his status was solid enough where he didn't even go to Q School. And I think Mark will do well out there, don't you?
I do, Rob, because I think courses, you know, toward the end of his PGA Tour career, courses got a little too long for him. You know, courses started getting up in the 7,400-yard range, and that was maybe, you know, 200, 300 yards too long for Mark. But I think when he gets on a 7,000-yard course, 6,900, 7,100, I think that's in his wheelhouse still. And I think, you know, I'm sure he's going to work on his game and get ready, but he's always had a great short game, and I would expect him to put up some pretty good numbers too out there.
As we put a bow on 2024, anything else stand out that may or may not have been in your year-end story here? You know, I, as I look back, you know, every month had something exciting. And you know, the great thing about this job, and one of the reasons that neither one of us really wants to, you know, scale back too much, is the fact that, you know, there's always something to write about. And everybody wants us to write about it. And that's the kind of cool thing. But it was a busy 12 months.
It's funny, Rob, non-golfers who find out what I do or whatever are always saying, well, what do you do in the winter? What do you write about? And there's countless, I mean, just look at our website, right? You've just done, you're getting ready to wrap up your class rankings, which has been exceptional. And we've had player of the year stories and schedule stories. And I mean, there's always stuff to write about when it comes to golf, especially in our state. It's a golf crazy state, and that's borne out by the number of great courses we have in our state. And the people who read our golf site, our Wisconsin.golf, and go to our site, our numbers continue to go up every year. There's always stuff to write about. The thing I wrestled with, Rob, in doing the top 10 stories of the year is, you know, the national type stories, like, you know, the AmFam Championship and the USGA Championships, how do you compare those to the state stories? Max Lyons winning the state open and, you know, Garrett Jones winning the state amateur. Those certainly are big stories, but it's hard to compare those to a story that would have sort of a national interest.
Well, and especially when Sand Valley continues to expand, you know, not a month goes by where I don't run into someone down here that has been to Sand Valley. And, you know, I mean, how do you discover, you know, courses in central Wisconsin, you know, when you're, you know, 1,600 miles away? I mean, that speaks to the reputation of the Kaiser family and what they've built up there. We're looking forward to going to the Lido this year for the state amateur, and that'll be cool. I know you've got another Masters coming up also in 2025, and that kicks off major championship season. The PGA is at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. The U.S. Open goes to Oakmont Country Club in Pennsylvania, and then the Open Championship goes to Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. What is your take on the major championship scene for next year?
I'm excited for it. I'm always excited for the majors, and this will be probably be my last Masters, Rob. It'll be number 33 coming up, and the only reason I'm getting credentialed is because of my association with the Golf Writers Association of America. Being the president of the GWAA, I have to be there to run a board meeting, and that's really the only way I'll get credentialed. So my presidency comes to an end, and probably so does my run of Masters. I've only missed one since 1992, and that was the COVID year when they had a, you know, very, very small media contingent. So it's kind of bittersweet that I'll be – that when I make that drive down to Augusta in early April, and I'm looking forward to it. But all good things come to an end, I guess, Rob.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, at some point you'll be able to go back as a fan, you know, win the ticket lottery. You know, yeah. I'm sure that would be, you know, a cool way to kind of see that tournament from a different perspective. But you've done such great work down there, and it's just an exciting time because it does kind of kick off the major championship season. Obviously, the regular season, what starts, is it this weekend already or next week with the Century Tournament of Champions? That's coming up here quickly.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the Century because I was just looking at the entry list and we're missing Scotty Scheffler, Rob, who cut his hand on a glass apparently while preparing a meal on Christmas Day and won't be playing. We actually have an injury report in our sweet spot because Victor Hovland apparently broke his pinky toe, which probably makes him questionable for the Century. But, yeah, looking forward to a great PGA Tour season. Can Scotty Scheffler keep it up? And who's going to rise to challenge him? Those are always going to be interesting stories as the year goes on.
And it is this weekend with the Century Tournament of Champions out there at Kapalua. And, you know, especially if you are in a location that is cold and very white, you always enjoy seeing the Hawaiian Islands and what golf will look like in a short period of time. You can do it vicariously through TV until the snow clears in Wisconsin and then and the weather warms. We also have, you know, a lot to look forward to on the state level. We mentioned the Lido with the state amateur, but, you know, the state open going back to Black Wolf Run, both the Meadow Valleys and the River Course. The state the tournament will have the full run of the resort for those 3 days in August. I think that's exciting because it'll also mean another expanded field that they do every so often to kind of help, you know, give people who haven't had an opportunity to get into the field, give them that opportunity, you get in the field, you know, you finish in the top 40, you come back the next year. And we've seen the quality of the state open grow because of that. It really has become a who's who of the rising stars in the state.
Well, I think we have to give a shout-out to both organizations, too, the WSGA and the WPGA, for being able to get these championships, get these courses to host their championships. I don't think, you know, you go to other associations around the country, I don't think you see many state amateurs being played on U.S. Open venues like you do here with the with our state amateur being played at Erin Hills or Sand Valley or, you know, with the WPGA going to the River Course at Black Wolf Run, both courses. So it's a shout out to both organizations that they built those strong relationships with some of our great golf courses in our state. And you can be very proud to win one of those state championships, not only because you beat the best field in the state, but because you did it on a great, great golf course.
Also, the Wisconsin Women's State Amateur will be played at Maple Bluff in July. That also signifies, a change in the quality of the golf courses the State Am is going to for the women. You know, the Maple Bluff has hosted numerous state amateurs on the men's side, and one of the toughest tree line golf courses you're going to find in the state of Wisconsin. Those trees just get they narrow the fairways every year, and it's going to get to the point where you're going to have a 5-yard margin of error off the tee out there.
Yeah, oh, I love Maple Bluff. One of my favorite places in the state, and kind of a funny story. Years ago, I played as a marker in the third round of the state amateur because they had an odd number of guys make the cut. And I played with Keith Buntrock, our good friend Keith. And unfortunately, I made a birdie on one hole and had the tee on the next hole, and I proceeded to snipe one out of bounds. And he had to watch that and follow it, and then he hit one out of bounds.
Oh, my.
I apologize to him every day. Every time I see Keith that I – he had to watch me hit one OB, and then he hit one OB. Because as you know, when you're a golfer and you watch a guy hit a shot like that, it gets in your head a little bit. And certainly he followed me with one OB. So I still apologize to him, and that was 20 years ago.
Boy, that is funny. But it happens, on the holes that border the street or the holes that border the railroad tracks on the north side. That can happen quite easily out at Maple Bluff as you try to, steer that ball and keep it in play. What else are you looking forward to in 2025, Gary?
Yeah, well, we mentioned at the top of the podcast the U.S. Women's Open. Boy, would it be great to see a couple of women from our state qualify for that and get to tee it up at Erin Hills. That would be so cool to see one of our young, really good players like McKenna Nelson or Abigail Hendrickson. Anyone like that, some of our college players, one of the Stricker girls, it would be so cool to see someone from our state tee it up in that championship. I'm really looking forward to that one, Ralph.
I am too, and you're right. I know that those young ladies have got that qualifying circled on their calendar in the spring, hoping to start their summer schedule right at home at Erin Hills, and that would be wonderful. Jessica Geiser, who will profile tomorrow as we close out our rankings, has had a wonderful start to her career at the University of Florida and has done some things, to kind of improve her game that, might be seem unconventional, but they've worked. And, we haven't seen someone, walk in and dominate at a top 25 program since Casey Danielson did it at Stanford. And it'll be fun to see if Jessica Geiser, because she's right there from Heartland, just down the road from Erin Hills, and boy, that would be kind of cool too. And then we go right in. It was kind of funny. We go right from the State Women's Open to the State High School Boys Championship, which goes back to University Ridge because the AmFam Championship at the end of the week goes to TPC Wisconsin, and I think that is a kind of a an appropriate way to start the summer because those changes have really bunched those tournaments tightly. As we start our June coverage of golf in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I suppose we should mention that I know you're looking forward to it, so am I. The team, the partnership at the AmFam Championship, it'll be a two-man team event. And, we know Stricker's going to play with his brother-in-law, Mario Tiziani. We don't know who Jerry's going to play with yet, Jerry Kelly. He told me he's waiting to see if one of the top guys on the money list picks him. And as I said in our sweet spot today, it would be fun to see him paired with someone like Padraig Harrington, who hits the ball a mile, and then setting Jerry up for his short game and wedge game. That'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that would be a great partnership. And of course, in the post round interview after he won the AmFam Championship, Ernie Els said that he was going to play with, I believe, Ken Duke, and that was kind of a, to me, a curveball, Gary. I expected to see, a power team like, and you mentioned when you wrote about Steve partnering with Mario, that's going to be probably a one-year thing because if Tiger shows any interest in playing in that thing, it's going to be Tiger and Stricker in 2026.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be something for our state, for the AmFam Championship, for Madison? to have Tiger come back, that would be nearly 30 years after he made his professional debut at the Great Milwaukee Open in 1996. It would be 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Am I adding that right?
I think you're right. 30 years.
So that would be really cool to see him come back. And, you know, they have a very good relationship. And, you know, if Tiger's healthy, I'm pretty sure that he'd be interested in doing that to help Steve out. And they're good friends. So that would be something else. I'd come out of retirement for that one, Rob. That's for sure.
in the time that we haven't done podcasts, a number of our golfers did quite well in PGA Tour qualifying school. Sam Anderson won a second stage event, which gives him exempt status on the Korn Ferry Tour. But reading Ryan French's tweets lately on the Monday Q Info account, the trickle-down effect from the reduced fields on the PGA Tour is that the lower tier players on that tour are committing to the Korn Ferry Tour and somewhat closing the door for people like Sam who should have status but may not get into the field. They may expand the fields, which, you know, will introduce a whole another litany of problems in terms of daylight and slow play and all that stuff. But we're kind of, with the changes coming to the PGA Tour, Gary, I think it's going to be a kind of a changing culture for the kids trying to make it out there coming out of college.
You're right, Rob. It was never easy to make it to the PGA Tour, but it has become exponentially more difficult, I think. And it's too bad for guys like the guys you mentioned, Thomas Longbella, Cameron Huss, Sam Anderson, guys like that who have a ton of game and just need a break and could get to that highest level. But now it's going to be harder because of the sort of the PGA Tour has become more and more of a closed shop with its signature events and smaller fields. You feel bad for those guys, but you know what? If they play their butts off and they play great, they can still get to where they want to get to.
Yeah, and then, it's another reason why some of these guys have looked overseas for opportunities. George Kneiser got through on the Asian Tour, and, reading up on what that means for him, they're playing for some serious money over there. Millions of dollar U.S. coin, over the course of a season. It'll be a different way to get around, and obviously traveling in foreign countries takes some getting used to. But it's a smaller world for the kids of today, and George, I think, will do quite well over there.
I agree. Yeah, George has a ton of game, and I think he will do well. And I think, the DP World Tour in Europe and the Asian Tour, I think we're going to see more and more Americans going to those tours because it's going to be so much harder to get on the big tours in our country. And the PGA Tour and even the Korn Ferry. So, I think we're going to see a lot of Americans headed that way to pursue their professional dreams.
Do you see corporations getting behind some of the developmental tours to the point where, they become more of a focus and maybe the rewards there are better?
I would hope so. But without the big names, without the Scotty Schefflers, Rory McIlroys and Jason Day's and that type of player, I think it's a little harder to convince corporations to shell out big money. Now, we both know how great those players are who make it to the Korn Ferry Tour. They're all exceptional, but very few of them have really big names that would attract corporate-type dollars. But I would hope it would happen. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see indeed. That gets us into the middle of the year, state AMs, state opens. And then before you know it, we're winding down the year again. But it's been a great 2024. I'm looking forward to 2025. I'm not looking forward to your reduced role, Gary, because on a personal level, because we've enjoyed doing what we've done here for what is it? It's going on 10 years now.
I think eight
for you. And yeah. The site launched in 2016 on January 1st, right about there, January, the first week of January. So it'll be 10 years now for the site, which who would have thunk that it would have kept growing and gotten to the point where it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's been for me a really fun 8 years, and you're going to see me around, Rob. I'm not disappearing. I might be doing a little bit less. But I'll still be around. We'll bump into each other a lot in the summer, I think.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Gary, have a happy new year. And continue good luck on trying to get to the bottom of this mysterious illness that has kind of held you back here for the last couple months. And I hope 2025 finds you fit as a fiddle for your the next stage of life.
Same to you, Rob, and a big shout out to Jim Kelce. We're hoping you're in our thoughts and prayers, Jim, and hope you get better quick here.
Absolutely. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.